grace to us. And we would pray that as we week by week consider these things in Scripture, that it would help us to think deeply and to have our minds renewed. Lord God, there's no faithful following of you without a deepening understanding of your Scriptures, a deepening meditation upon your Word, a deepening influence of this means of grace in our lives in every way. We know that it's got to affect our how we think, how we feel, how we respond to life, how we plan for life. And we pray that even today, this study on this doctrine will teach us more about your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, quickly, review last week. The five solas. The five solas.
In Christ.
I'm going to ask my niece, because last week she said she was very glad that I went on this side of the table rather than that side of the table. Okay, so, Carrie, what's one of the solas?
In Scripture alone.
In Scripture alone. Sola Scriptura, very, very good. All right, Nick, one of the solas.
Sola Christo.
Christ alone. All right, see? Okay, Jeff, that's two. Two down, three left to go. Sola Fide, faith alone. Now we are down two.
You took my three. Faith alone.
So we got Sola Scriptura, Sola Fide.
Oh, thank you.
Sola Christus.
Glory of God alone.
Okay, Sola Dea Gloria.
Sorry, Emily.
And you're the last one.
Christ alone?
No, that's already got it.
Oh,
I
didn't hear that.
Grace?
Yes. No, we had faith. So. Okay, salvation by grace alone. Now, there's a number of different ways that we look at these Reformation ideas and we say, what links them together? What makes these biblical? And what happened with Luther and then following him, Calvin, was we say that this is the rediscovery of the gospel. When you start breaking this down and you've got the rediscovery of the good news, well, why is the gospel the good news? Because man can't save himself.
Yeah.
Why can't man save himself? And then you're into the doctrine of what the Bible says about man. Man's fallenness. The character of that fallenness. The depth of that fallenness. The destructiveness of that fallenness. What has it done to us? And when we understand salvation as a response of a great God and a holy God to man's condition, then you can understand why these five solas are so crucial and why they're so significant and why there is no gospel. If in any way we diminish or lose the significance of these five great ideas. You know, the Reformation was not just simply bringing to fullness the doctrine of the justification by faith. Though we may focus on that a great deal, to be accurate and to say what we ought to say, Protestantism over and against Roman Catholicism was about these five great things that had been either diminished completely or hidden in the salvation that was now presented in the Roman Catholic Church, in the priesthood of the Roman Catholic Church, and in the detestable and heinous sacrifice of the Mass. In all of these ways, these five great ideas were obscured and diminished and evacuated of their true meaning. But what fundamentally unites them all together is a biblical understanding of man's condition. And so that's what we're looking at. To give God all glory, we must give man his proper place. Now, today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2 primarily. We're going to be looking at how flawed, because that's what we were looking at last week, man's fallenness. Is he flawed a little? Is he flawed a lot? And we're going to be looking at the thoroughness with which the Apostle Paul describes man's fallen nature. So we're going to look at Ephesians 2, if someone would read verses 1, 2, and 3 for us. In fact, let's read it out of a couple of translations so that Carrie gets to read the King James.
Am I the only one that has a King James?
I have a new King James.
I have a new King James.
Okay.
I'm still preaching out of the New American Standard. All right, thank you, Carrie.
And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Okay. Now, I mean, I know people who read this and just sum it up and say, yeah, we were dead. We were spiritually dead. And that's the depth to which they look at it. And then they go on to say things like this. But man still had his free will. Man still had his ability to choose. Man could still choose God on his own. That was left untouched. So that's why I think it's important to actually walk through and to pay attention to each one of these descriptive phrases. Because here's the point that I'm going to make. Paul puts description upon description upon description upon description. What someone might say in one statement or phrase, dead in sin, Paul gives us at least 8 compounding phrases to make us understand what spiritual death or fallenness is all about. There's obviously a point that Paul is trying to make here. And the point is, it's pivotal. One's whole theology, one's whole understanding of the gospel will hinge upon this point. If we don't get this right, everything else in our theology is going to be defective. And so we need to truly understand, of course, every reading of the Bible involves interpretation. The measure of interpretation and its accuracy really comes down to how well we can support our case from the Word of God. And that's what we want to see here, is we're not exaggerating. In fact, the tendency is to, and somehow, diminish the strength of what Paul says. And we're not going to diminish the strength of what Paul says here. I would dare say it's virtually impossible to exaggerate what Paul says here. That's the important thing to understand. There are those who want to say that the Reformation understanding of the nature of man was an overstatement, that they took too much away from man. And what I want us to see is that when you look at the words of Scripture, that is virtually impossible. You can't go further in describing man's brokenness than the language of the Apostle Paul. And I think that that's what I want us to see. So let's go through here and walk through here, and we've got 2 or 3 different translations so we can appreciate what each one of these phrases happens to be. So, the very first phrase, Carrie, after ye hath he quickened, you were, who were?
Who were dead in trespasses and sin.
Okay. My New American Standard. Yeah. My New American Standard is virtually the same. Dead in trespasses and sins. What does the ESV say?
The same.
And you were dead in trespasses, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins.
Okay. And the New King James.
Same thing. That we're dead in trespasses and sin. It's interesting, though, that he's making a very definite contrast. With you he made alive. You he made alive implies that you were dead in trespasses and sin. I mean,
right.
And that it was him that did it.
Right.
Yeah. No, but you were, if you were made alive, you had to be dead.
Right.
Yes. Now, what the King James translation does there, and this goes back to original text. I didn't consult my Greek text on this, but notice in verse 5, that contrast is made in verse 5. Even when we were dead, he made us alive. Okay, verse 5.
Yeah.
Because in the NIV, the ESV, and the New American Standard translations, the phrase that you find in the King James and the New King James, you, he has quickened, doesn't appear. So I just start out verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1 with this. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So the quickening by the, what we call the eclectic text, meaning different than the Textus Receptus. Those are the two textual criticism names for the King James tradition and the non-King James tradition. In the non-King James tradition, it just simply says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. In the King James tradition, it either borrows from verse 5, which in terms of translation is entirely appropriate.
Absolutely.
Because it's exactly what it means. Or there may be a textual tradition in the TR that actually has that in it. Either way, the doctrine is exactly the same. There is no problem here in terms of textual variance with what is being taught. Now,
NIV says transgressions.
Transgression.
Not that that's a big deal.
No, and it isn't. The idea of a trespass and the idea of transgression is crossing the line. And what is the line? The line is the absolute law of God. What does God's law require? What does God's law say? To transgress that or to trespass is to violate it. Okay. Now, of course, what is the meaning of the word dead here? Right, we're not talking about physical life.
It's our souls.
We're talking about spiritual life. And that's very clear. We're not talking about any aspect of man physically. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, because the very idea, trespasses and sins, indicates you are alive.
Doing something.
You're alive doing something. Now, it's very important to recognize that this doesn't mean that man didn't have a spirit, or that man's spiritual side of him was inoperative. Because spiritual death doesn't mean that man's spiritual side is inoperative. The very nature that we are is we are both physical and non-physical. To say that man was dead doesn't mean that his non-physical part had ceased to exist. The non-physical part was certainly there. And so we'd have to understand a little more about what is this spiritual death that the Bible talks about. And there we have to say that it means the fellowship with God is gone. It does not exist. What is spiritual death? It's to be disconnected from God himself. That which Adam and Eve had with God in the garden is gone, completely and totally absent. All right? That's what it means to die spiritually, is to have your relationship with God cut off completely. Okay? Now, so dead in trespasses and sins. What is the next phrase?
Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world.
Okay. What does the NIV say?
In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world.
Okay, living, following the ways of this world. Living, following the course of this world. Other variations? Anything significant? Okay. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be living or walking according to the course of this world?
Walking in sin.
Yeah, worldly ways.
Just sin.
Well, I think you take on the world's thinking process.
Okay, the world's thinking is a process.
The philosophy of the world. It's culture. You think in terms of where the world is going, and your actions follow along with that.
Okay.
In obedience to where our thoughts are thinking. So you have an action here too. You're walking, your lifestyle, and world, and its lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life.
Yeah. Because think about this, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, Jesus himself, all had a clear idea of the distinction between this world and the kingdom. That's a clear contrast between this world and the kingdom of heaven that's coming into this world. And so to be living according to the pattern, which is Romans 12:2, the pattern of this world, or the course of this world, or following this world, is to live in a way that is contrary to, opposite of, again, disconnected from the kingdom of God.
In rebellion.
In rebellion, yes. In rebellion. And that's important. This is not just simply a different kind of living, a different world. It's a world in rebellion against God. Very, very important. Okay.
Excuse me.
Yes.
By man's fallen nature, though, don't we kind of automatically do that?
It's almost subconscious.
I mean, granted, we don't go to the extent of some, but we automatically live somewhat worldly, as this will point out.
It's the natural, yeah, I think so. It's the natural condition we are born into now.
Are you meaning before or after you're saved?
Before.
Man's like natural way.
That word course is interesting. I wonder if it's like a river course. I mean, the river goes where it has to by its nature. It pulls the...
The difference is whether you go with it or you struggle.